I've started reading Thomas Merton's little book, Contemplative Prayer, just a couple paragraphs every morning. Merton says, among other things, that for Christian monastics, and he wrote the book for his fellow monastic community, but he intended it to be accessible and useful for any Christian. But he says, for Christian monastics, prayer has always begun with the Psalms, given how important they are in the tradition and specifically how important they were to Jesus. So along with Merton's book, I've been reading one psalm a day. I started this about a week or so ago, and I was struck by the way so many of the psalms are people crying out for God's aid. Listen to some of the first lines. I cry aloud to the Lord, Psalm 3. Answer me when I call, O God, Psalm 4. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my sighing. Listen to the sound of my cry, Psalm 5. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. O Lord, how long? Psalm 6. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had beautiful sermons from congregants. Linda preached beautifully about the cries in her life related to racial justice and gender and sexuality justice. And I know they're very personal cries for her, connected to people and struggles in her life. And then Mark preached last week about cries in his life related to depression and self-sabotage in his struggle to hear the message of God's love, love that confers dignity and worth regardless of what you do. These cries are deeply real in his life and present even as he finds himself in a better place now. We feel many complicated sorrows, and our cries, though they may sound the same, are rooted in specific and distinct wounds that we live with, all of us. I invite you to pause for a minute and to breathe in the space of this loving community and just to allow yourself to acknowledge the range of cries welling up in you. And it may be that we hold layers of sorrow, sedimentation from harm long ago. It may be a fresh wound or hurt from events unfolding in this week. And I invite you to notice where you feel this sorrow in your body. Is it a tightness in your chest? Is it a shortness of breath? A nausea in your gut? So just with me, breathe in and hold it, and then breathe slowly out. Where do you hear the cries in your body? And breathe in again. And hold it. And breathe out slowly also. There's a beautiful passage in Paul's writings, St. Paul's writings. The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express. We trust in the presence of that Spirit now, interceding for us, bringing forth sighs too deep for words. This profound story of Moses and the burning bush is deeply consoling for a sorrow-filled people. Just a moment of backstory that gets us to the text that we heard Naomi read. Moses is out in the desert with the flock, remember, because a new pharaoh arose in Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he enslaved and oppressed the Israelites. He even ordered the midwives to kill the newborn males to reduce their numbers because they were multiplying and were viewed by Pharaoh as so strong as a people. Moses escaped this fate because his mother placed him on the Nile River in a reed basket to be found by Pharaoh's daughter. And she raised Moses as an Egyptian, but cleverly, Moses' mother was nearby, and she offered herself to Pharaoh's daughter as his wet nurse. So Moses also knew his true identity in the story of his people. Finally, as he walked about as a grown young man, he was overcome by the abuse of his people, and he struck an Egyptian who was beating a slave and killed the man. And when he learned that this was not a hidden act, but that others knew and that Pharaoh himself was seeking his life, Moses fled into exile. So that sets up the text as we have it, the part of the story that we have it. And I think it's interesting to note God first shows up in the story as a character in the story, as one who listens and responds out of relationship. Like, it's the people's cries, in a sense, that bring God into the story. Just before the text we heard, at the end of chapter 2, Exodus says, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help, because of their slavery, went up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered them. That is why God showed up. God knows us and loves us and remembers us. And I think it's interesting that God shows up both as other, as this mysterious presence in a burning bush that's not consumed, and yet completely intimate as one who hears us, who loves us, who calls us by name. Moses, God says, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place you are standing is on holy ground. God shows up and invites us to see the ground we are standing on as holy ground. God also reveals God's self as one who hears our cries, and most especially the cries of the oppressed, and as one who will not let things stay as they are. The hearing leads to action. God says, I have heard, for I know my people's pain, and I have come down to rescue them from the hand of Egypt and to bring them up from that land to a goodly and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. So in this story, God is one who does not let us stay stuck. God works with us to accomplish this. God needs organizers and healers and therapists and chaplains and prophets, all kinds of partners who will go and lead the movements to achieve freedom and healing. Moses, like many of us, is reluctant, and we see our limitations in the face of such a calling to lead change for ourselves, for others. And the next chapter in the story, there's this whole debate that ensues between Moses and God around his limitations. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And God says to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. As Moses became a fallible and reluctant prophet seeking the freedom of his people, I was thinking about a woman often called the American Moses, Harriet Tubman. She was injured by an angry overseer who threw a heavy metal weight and hit her in the head. And she suffered all kinds of maladies, including seeing visions, for the rest of her life. And she felt called out of those visions to seek freedom. And after her own escape, 13 times returned back to the South, leading nearly 100 others to freedom. And so in a sense, Harriet Tubman, like Moses, is an icon of the posture of God, of hearing and responding with transforming action. When Moses said, God, who shall I tell them sent me? God offers a way for Moses to describe who God is. And it's really important, this description, this action name for God, if you want to call it that. I will be who I will be. God's identity is as one who changes, who calls us out of pain, out of suffering, into healing, into liberation, into shalom, where all is well. And so tonight, you too are invited to hear that same God calling you out of pain and suffering, whatever it is that you experience, and calling our whole nation out of this pain and suffering that we're struggling through, into healing, into liberation, into shalom.